carry on and plan the sequel, because let's face it, baby, these days, you gotta have a sequel. Ah!
And welcome back to Micro Queers. It's your bi-weekly queer horror short roundup, and I'm Joe.
And I'm Trace, and we are discussing Tom Hilton's Synonymous With, a lovely 10-minute short that honestly kind of stuck with me long after I watched it and hit me in a way I wasn't expecting a short to today.
Yes, absolutely. And before we get too far into it, folks, I'll just read you the logline. So it is: a student's increasingly intimate line of questioning causes his interview with a local horror host to take a vulnerable turn. And I feel like right off the top, Trace, we should acknowledge that this isn't a horror short.
No, but I wouldn't say that that disqualifies it from coverage here, because it's very much steeped in horror fandom.
Yes.
And also, even though we are not like, you know, late night horror talk show host type things, but like I saw a little bit of ourselves in this. And honestly, even if you're not like podcast host or whatever, but or like, you know, whatever, even if you're just a horror fan, like I feel like you can see yourself in this Mr. Synonymous character.
Yes, absolutely. And it's tricky because I feel like I want everyone to really make an effort to watch this short, because it is charming, and vulnerable is the right word in that description, but it's really, it's somewhere between a documentary and a found footage kind of short, but it's really just like one actor. So it's Mr. Synonymous being interviewed. He's played by Remy Germanario. Mm-hmm. And it's this guy who used to host a very basic, a wannabe Elvira / Joe Bob Briggs. But, you know, he's giving Vincent Price vibes in this show, and it looks really fun. And then one day, he just goes off the air, and this film student tracks him down 10 years later to say like, hey, I want to talk to you about what the show meant to you and what it meant to me. And then it just becomes like this kind of confessional thing about the power of being a horror lover and how it can help you to realize what it is that you want in your life and how your life doesn't always turn out the way you want. And I got emotional.
No, that's what I'm saying, though, right? Like, it hit you. Honestly, when I was watching it the first time, I was like, oh, this is kind of sad. Like, I mean, maybe sad's the wrong word, but after it ended, like I kept thinking about it, and I was like, oh, that like hit me in a way I was not expecting it to. And also, I mean, we haven't mentioned it yet, but this is a queer man, and you know, he talks about a date experience, and it's just kind of like, I don't know, it almost feels like someone who, I don't want to say someone who's given up, but on life, but they've given up on this part of their life that, and we don't even know why. Like, we don't know why this happened. It's almost like this existential crisis that this man has had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he talks about the fact that this cable access program was part of a lineup that had, you know, he gives this litany of different other programs that they were offering, and they all sound very niche and very small, but, you know, very queer, a little bit unusual. Like, it is the kind of thing where if you stumbled upon it at 2 a.m. when you were a teenager, there's an interesting novelty value to it. So I can understand why people would have gotten hooked on it. And then, this idea that for some reason he just abandons this calling, even though it was giving him joy, he felt like at the time he wasn't getting anything further out of it. Like, he wasn't either getting the numbers or the respect, or it wasn't fulfilling him. And it isn't until after he leaves it and looks back on this time in hindsight that he realizes it was actually the most important thing in his life.
Yeah. And I guess maybe it sounds weird when I say it reminds me of us, but I mean, I just think, I mean, like, you and I, and I mean, I'll be candid here, you know, we have had separately and together like ups and downs with this podcast where it's like, oh, it's really fulfilling, and oh, like I'm really frustrated with this, or oh, it feels like a job instead of like fun. Like that, but that's just something that's going to come with the gig. But honestly, it was when he started talking about that date that he had, and I'm spoiled because I have been with someone for 11 years who is very much into horror like we are.
Right.
Like I have had that luxury for honestly a lot of my relationships. And I guess I always assume that people have the same thing. Like, I'm like, oh, like, you know, queer people love horror. But a lot of people I talk to, it's like, oh, like, yeah, my partner does not like horror. Yeah, it's you.
Yeah, it's me.
And yeah. So honestly, watching that, I was kind of like, oh, this is such an interesting insight. And how he was saying, you know, oh, like, you know, I wasn't even interested in anything this guy was saying, but they were just things. They were boring things, stupid things, but they were things. And I can't really even put into words like how I felt listening to this person say these things.
And realizing that there's a connection to people who share the same interests as you. And mm-hmm. when you feel like it's something that's really important to you, struggling to make that connection with somebody, because you're right, it does absolutely seem like he has given up. Like,
yeah.
Mr. Synonymous is basically just this sad, lonely gay man who lives in a really nicely decorated, like, Halloween.
It works in a Chase Bank, like, you know, doing the thing that all of us are trying to avoid doing. And mm-hmm. no shame in it. Like, you know, it's honest work. But like, you know, obviously, like, people want to do a job that they enjoy, so it feels less like work. And so it's, right. it's, I mean, but the sad truth of it is that we don't always get to do what we love and what we want to do. And so watching this, oh, it's just deflating, mm-hmm. but it's also like I was so endeared to this character. Like, I wanted right. more of him. I wanted to like hear more of this interview and get more, because there's something about this vulnerability that, and again, this is a generalization of the queer community, but I feel like it's sometimes hard to find vulnerability in the queer community because our walls are up all the time.
Yes. Yeah. And one of the interesting things about the short is that we're only really ever seeing Mr. Synonymous. Like mm-hmm. he's the one being interviewed. It's intercut with, you know, the kind of stock footage and sort of insert shots that you would expect to see in a documentary, which I really appreciated the strives at authenticity that is going into the production of the short. But there is this other character, right? Like there's the character of Jackson, the unseen interviewee. And I don't know about you, but I maybe projected not just a fascination, like you're somebody that I grew up with and I idolize you, but also it seemed like this was a date. Like
yes.
I sought you out because you were meaningful to me. And now I want to make a connection. And I was like, are these two going to fall in love?
No, because the first thing, whenever he makes the first phone call, you know, he says, who did you say this was? And he's like, oh, no, I heard who you said, but like, have we met before? Mm-hmm. And it almost has the makings of this, I don't know, like a rom-com of sorts or like a rom-drama. mm-hmm.
Yeah, it could absolutely go in that direction. And then, of course, because we're talking about horror, the other part of me is like, oh, is this a creep style situation where like
no.
this person is going to stalk and kill the person that he was obsessed with as a youngster?
So I get where you're coming from with that. And like, I, as much as like, I feel like that 100% could be a movie. I mean, we've both seen Creep and Creep too, but mm-hmm. like, I honestly was, now that you've said this, I'm like, I kind of wish we just had this be a regular romance just okay. set in the horror community. You know, like it doesn't have to be a horror movie. Just make it a normal non-horror, like romance, right. drama, romance, comedy, whatever you want to do. Mm-hmm. And have it just be your protagonist be horror fans. Like, have we had that before?
Nothing's coming to mind.
And I mean, so listeners, let us know. But I mean, I'm kind of like segueing into the end of this episode right. here, but like, if this was a full-length feature, I would love to see that. Now, granted, I don't know if I would keep the mockumentary style. Like, I think maybe that might be a good framing device.
Right.
But if it was the whole thing, it wouldn't be a deal breaker. I like the concept of having a film that is just set in the horror fandom, but isn't a horror movie.
Okay. I mean, I could definitely see it going that way. I think that's actually the lean of the short. Like this right. is a short that's about two people making a connection over a shared interest. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe even Jackson positioning this as an opportunity to like have Mr. Synonymous make a comeback, or he takes over as the new Mr. Synonymous because he realizes that there's a gap that needs to be filled.
Or they co-host together.
Somebody's got to be that hand that holds like the glass when he, I did love his set under the Mr. Synonymous with like the mustache and like the hand coming out of the crate and the decorations. It was lovely.
Well, and it's also, I mean, again, to see two people connect over a genre that, I mean, as we discuss all the time, is maligned or seen as less than, like, mm-hmm. and I mean, I know I've said, you know, I've been in a relationship with someone who also likes horror, but the fact of the matter is that my husband didn't like me when he met me, and we bonded over our mutual love of horror. So
right.
horror is absolutely something, I mean, anything can bring people together, but horror is absolutely one of those things, no matter what you may think. Not you, but like the general you.
The general listening audience and viewing audience. Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Now, I will say I would also watch the shit out of a horror movie version of this where it's like, you were meaningful, you were important, and then I try to become you. Like, you are my Peter Vincent from Fright Night, and I want to be you now.
And I'm glad that you mentioned Peter Vincent from Fright Night, because yeah, that very much is, I mean, this Mr. Synonymous is very much a younger version of this. And of course, in our Fright Night episode, we talked about the queer subtext in that film and how Peter Vincent, played by Roddy McDowall, definitely has queer coding to it. So I 100% believe that was an influence when making this short.
Yeah, this really does feel like a love letter to the impact and the power of horror hosts. And then if you turn it into a feature, it's just a question of like, what direction do you want to take it in?
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
Maybe they team up against like a Chris Sarandon style vampire. Wait, I'm just talking about Fright Night now.
Or maybe like 1 million moms, but instead of like them being an anti-gay group, they're like an anti-horror group. Protect the children.
Oh, very timely. Ah! Very relevant. I like it. Yeah.
Oh, well, listeners, let us know what you thought of this. This wonderful short, Mr. Synonymous. Synonymous with.
Right.
Again, as you can see, that both Joe and I were big fans of this. But until next time, we can cross out Synonymous with.
Yes, and cross out microqueers.
Murder in America is a true crime podcast that covers stories from all 50 states, including stories of mass shootings, serial killers, and lesser-known murders. Do you find yourself doing more research after listening to a true crime show? Well, Courtney and I used to do the same thing, and that's why we created Murder in America. Our podcast dives deep into each case. Our storytelling will make you feel like you're right there within the case with us, watching it all play out, and we do not shy away from the graphic details. If you're a fan of true crime, then listen to Murder in America on Spotify now.
Every town has its dark history. Hometown Ghost Stories is a paranormal podcast that goes town to town all across the globe, exploring the world's most haunted places, tapping into the dusty archives and the darkest corners to bring you the most terrifying stories of real people and their harrowing experiences. Hometown Ghost Stories dives into the history of haunted locations and investigates why and how these places earned their terrifying reputation. Rob, Dave, and Jesse go live every Tuesday night after an uninterrupted documentary-style breakdown on the case, followed by an open discussion with live viewers. Subscribe today to listen to Hometown Ghost Stories on your preferred podcast platform or watch the video version on YouTube and now Spotify. Head on over to the Bloody FM podcast network and check out Hometown Ghost Stories, if you're brave enough.